Hey, welcome back to the podcast, the Evil Dungeon Master Universe podcast. I am your host, the Evil Dungeon Master Vince, and welcome to my world. It's Friday. The weekend is upon us. And usually weekends mean it's time for gaming. Well, most people. I remember a time in my life I didn't have gaming on weekends because I had to work on the weekends. So if you're working on the weekends, I apologize, and hopefully you have a gaming coming soon someday. Okay, so email, ask the DM at theevildm.com. Go to my website, theevildm.com, if you want to catch up on more things, the old podcast or whatever. Facebook.com/TheEvilDungeonMaster. You can follow there along to get updates. Anchor.fm/TheEvilDM is where you can get the podcast. Now that we got all that out of the way, and you've liked and followed this podcast and the various platforms that you found it on, such as YouTube, let's talk about Twilight 2000 today, second edition specifically, because that's the one edition that I had and played, and I still have the book, as you can see the picture here. This is the book that I've had with me for some time, and we used to play this all the time, me and one of my friends only. His name was Dom. Well, to be specific, his name was Dimitri, but we called him Dom because that was his nickname. Everybody gets a nickname. So, we used to play all the time in his backyard when we couldn't find something else to do, because we couldn't play D&D because our parents wouldn't allow it, because this was during the time of the Satanic Panic. Well, towards the end of the Satanic Panic, because I think it was a little bit lesser towards the around the end of the 80s, early 90s. And we used to play this and they didn't care. It was just like, oh, you're playing a game about war in Europe? World War III, a fake scenario? That's fine. You're not worshiping demons or trying to stab people and kill them, so okay. It made no sense. But, you know, whatever, it's still a role-playing game we got to play. So I was running the game this time. We usually switched on and off when we were doing one-on-one sessions, gaming sessions. I would run, he would run, you know, back and forth. So I got to run Twilight 2000 this time. And Dom was playing his character, his rough, tough Marine named Jack. I'm pretty sure that was modeled after Big Trouble in Little China because he kept quoting the movie at the time. It was funny. Was it the same time? I don't even know. It was funny because how he would just keep quoting movies and stuff like that. And he liked playing those, you know, macho characters. Who didn't at the time? I mean, that's how movies were. So this is a war game. So we're back to the war game. So I had to include an NPC because he was in Italy. He was by himself. We wanted the story to be that he was lost from his unit, or his unit was mostly killed off. So he found, he moved his way around Italy with his unit, and then his unit got, you know, killed. He survived, and he was a lone survivor from his units. Now he had to find his way back to his main deployment. And they were in northern Italy somewhere on the outskirts. There was a safe area there where there wasn't a contingency of, like, bombs and radiation. There was a safe area that he had to head to in case something happened to the unit along the way. Now, what he was mainly doing in Italy was trying to help the Italian government rid the the areas of the overlords and the ruthless bandits that were taken up in the place. So he found a unit in Italy where Captain Isabella was, I believe her name, I'm trying to think back, an Italian officer joined the team. She was, you know, one of those badass 80s movie style women, because I modeled after one of those, you know, like Linda Hamilton, Sigourney Weaver, aliens type girls that were, you know, badass, knew how to handle a gun and kick ass, you know, original powerful character. So she was there as to help him out. They were with the unit in Italy trying to take out one of the local overlords in the area when they found the information that there was a local where the, you know, the actual bandit overlord leader was. Up in the mountains. They got some information about that, but then the unit got bombed by one of the Italian spy, terrorists, killed the entire unit except for the two of them. So now, The problem was he was an English-speaking U.S. soldier, cut off from his unit, didn't know how to speak Italian. He spoke Spanish because that was the one language that he did have. And she only spoke Italian. So, what are we going to do here? So as they figured their way around, the one thing that did work in communication, and there were some, you know, hilarious things like, go over there. And they're like, what? You know, and she would speak Italian to him and he'd be like, what? So it was one of those funny situations, you know, a little comic relief here and there. But the one thing that you do know in military, hand gestures, other than the middle finger, generally are universal. Stay put, go forward, things like that. So he would do that. She would do that. So they were able to communicate pretty quickly back and forth just using hand gestures for quite some time. And we decided that at night when they were relaxing and or, you know, just resting for the evening, that they would try to teach each other like a common language. He would teach her a little bit of English one night and I would roll to see if she learned a few things and then gave her a couple points. And he would, you know, learn things in Italian so they can communicate a little bit better back and forth. So it's a way to learn on the fly mechanic because you're engrossed in a new land with a new language. You're obviously going to pick up on it. Like me, say I went to Japan and I went to, a part of Japan that didn't speak English. Not smart, obviously. But if I was there long enough, I would have learned Japan. So that's kind of the situation. Would my Japanese be good? Probably not. But at least I would have learned the Japanese. So the two of them were learning the language together and communicating and taking out the local overlords to get information on the base up in the mountains and how they can get in there, because they did scope it out. They saw it was a giant base in the mountains and there was guards everywhere. There had to be another way in. So they decided to go to overlord, killing them, trying to get information how to get into this base, until they finally found a guy who said there was a secret way into the base, in which they got that information. They killed him. They went up the mountain into this secret. We decided it was a sewer system that went inside it. So they had to crawl through waste, poop, stuff like that and everything to get into this base secretly, which brought them in there. And once they got inside, they had to figure out how to get to the overlord himself without getting caught, because now you're inside this giant base. And I remember them coming up with him coming up with a plan of, you know, we'll go in at night and then we'll sneak around when everybody's sleeping and we'll just, he was just like, yeah, we'll just cut people's throats. Plain and simple. He didn't care. Just cut people's throats. You know, it'll be quiet and they'll never know. And we wake up in the morning and there'll be all these dead guys. Wow. Yeah. That didn't work out so well, but it was a good plan. Somewhat. As they finally made their way inside the base, they met up with the Italian overlord of the area. And, I was having the conversation between him and the overlord. I don't remember what his name was. I wish I remember what his name was. But I remember he was like, oh, it was just a misunderstanding. I really didn't really want to take over the area. It just happened, you know. So then there was the guard surrounded him, and he was just like, you know, if I know one thing, because I'm Italian, he goes, if I know one thing, people in Italy are very proud and very prideful, so I'm going to try something. And I said, oh? And he's like, yeah, I'm going to do this. I'm going to challenge that leader to a one-on-one fight, hand-to-hand, and I bet I could beat him. And if he doesn't accept it, I'm going to call him a chicken. that whole chicken thing came from the Back to the Future movie, too, as well. That whole scene, because we both loved that whole thing. So we're just like, he went, oh, a chicken, huh? And then he went, yeah, you know, see. And they took they had the one-on-one hand fisticuffs. And he wound up beating the leader down. But, as any good leader would do, cheats. He had him surrounded, and they were about to die. And as they were about to die, I rolled for a percentage chance that something would happen, like a random event, because I didn't know at this point, because he was pretty much dead. I rolled the percentage chance that someone would come save them, and it was the rest of the U.S. unit was tracking him the entire time. I made up that it was he had some type of tracker on him, and they were tracking him the entire time, busted in with tanks and jeeps and guns, surrounded the place, and rescued them from being killed. Overlord was taken down. The area was returned back to the Italian, well, whatever's left of the Italian government at that point. And that was the Twilight 2000 campaign that I remember. We played a lot of Twilight 2000 when we were sitting back there over the summers. We couldn't find anyone else to play, like I said, but we sure did have a blast playing it. I don't think I've ever played the 2.2 edition of Twilight 2000, which I don't know what the difference really was, other than it updated it to Traveler rules, I believe is what it was. I don't know. You can tell me in the comments below, the people on YouTube, or you can email me and let me know, or go to Facebook and let me know. And I also have never played the original Twilight 2000, though I do have the original box set of Twilight 2000. I wound up getting that later on because I wanted to see the difference because it had all those cool maps and everything into it. Twilight 2000, I have really didn't have much. But yeah. So that was the Twilight 2000 campaign that I remember. And I wanted to share with you guys as I was looking at the book, looking for things to talk about. And I always try to give you some type of little story and ways to do things in a game. And I figured I'd give you an example of how you can give someone a skill or something inside of, you know, inside of a game. For example, the language skill. You can always roll versus intelligence or roll versus whatever you decide as the GM. And then award them a certain amount of points if it's a skill-based system, maybe percentage-wise or point-wise, depending on what dice you're rolling. That would be a great idea. But anyway, that is that. And before anybody says anything, I didn't say that, so never mind. So I'm going to head out. Keep it original, keep it old school. Good night, and God bless everybody.